Well, I'm thankful tonight for the truth that we have access to, and I'm thankful for the Word of God, and with the Word of God, I will say I'm thankful for the book of Revelation. I'm thankful for the inspiration that it is. I'm thankful for the challenge that it is. I'm thankful for the prophecy in it, and this is a very wonderful chapter and a very awful chapter in Chapter 19, written on the board, Marriage of the Lamb. And the first part of this chapter deals with the marriage of the Lamb, and the second part deals with the great slaughter that's going to take place. And this is one of those things that I wish there could be a picture just impressed on everybody's mind, you young people and you children, that you can get a picture of something tonight that you will never ever forget. So let's just turn, if you have your Bible, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse in chapter 19. He said, after these things. Now, after these things, we've studied quite a bit over the last few months, and I know we've kind of slowed down the last couple of months, but we've been reading and seeing how that Babylon rose, that God's judgments against Babylon. We saw the birth of the church of God, that's God's people, and how the Lord blessed them through times of persecution. We saw the victory of the early morning church. We saw the church going into the wilderness. We saw the Spirit and the Word having right of way in people's lives, and then we see them lying dead in the streets. We see those that put them to death and did not allow the Word and the Spirit to have free course. We saw the Word and the Spirit prophesying in sackcloth and ashes. And so we've been on a journey in through different symbols, different pictures that were presented in the vision to John, and we saw how there have been victories, there have been persecutions, but yet every time when people kept their eye on the Lord, the Word and the Spirit, they came through and God blessed them. God gave them strength through difficult times. We see Babylon, we saw it lifted up, but yet we also read in multiple places the judgments of God being put on them. It didn't always happen immediately. But ultimately, the judgments of God are always going to catch up with people when they do wrong. Individually and collectively, the judgments of God are going to catch up with people that do wrong. And so he said, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Now, isn't that right there encouraging? Well, we're a small group tonight, but John the Revelator heard a great voice of much people in heaven. God's people are a lot more than just two or three. So he heard this great voice saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Now before we read on, who was the great whore? Alright, in what form? What? The great whore was talking about specifically, which it was given rise on the Roman Empire, was who? I don't have that picture up tonight, but it was Babylon, that's right. It was Babylon. The mother of harlots, remember, was the Roman Catholic Church. It was Roman Catholicism. A whore was someone that had committed, someone that would be committing adultery. Someone that's unfaithful to her husband. So that's what the Roman Catholic Church was. They were not faithful to God the Father. They wanted to keep his name, but they wanted to eat their own bread, wear their own apparel, do it their own way. And we find that that was the mother of harlots, and the mother of harlots had daughters that eventually took on her same character, which would be Protestantism. That's what Babylon is. It's confusion. And so here he said there was praise and honor and glory up in heaven being given. And it said, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth, and with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. There was a lot of praise going on in heaven, and the reason there was praise was the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted, now this was talking about the bride, who's the bride? It's the church, right? It's the church of God. It said her bride, he granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write. You can just see John writing this down. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see thou do it not. So we said, who was talking to him? It wasn't Jesus. Jesus is worthy of our worship, but remember, every time an angel spoke to John and John began to worship, the angel stopped him and said, don't worship me. He said here, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we have a picture up in heaven. We can just take a little step back. We have a picture in heaven of a great song of praise being given. Hallelujah. And it said there were many voices. Now, do y'all remember in previous chapters where it talked about how many angels were up in heaven giving God praise? Thousands of 10,000s of angels. So, you've been at Monarch. You've heard when there's maybe, 600, 700 people there. And just when the Spirit of the Lord really came down in special anointing and the singing, it was about all you could do to hold, to contain it. Have you ever been there like that? You know, that's why we're going to have a glorified body, because these bodies can only handle so much. But up in heaven, just imagine thousands of 10,000s of angels. So hundreds of thousands of angels around singing in beautiful harmony. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so that's what was going on. Salvation and glory and honor and power. Why were they rejoicing? He said, because he hath judged the great whore. Do you realize that it is something to rejoice about? There used to be, and it was really almost before my time, I am told, there used to be a lot more rejoicing over the judgment of the great whore. But understand this picture in heaven. This is when the marriage of the Lamb is going to take place. Alright? The judgments of truth are already against the great whore. But we see here now the end of time, when it is time for the Lord to come back and the bride is ready. And there's going to be a rejoicing in heaven. All unrighteousness is going to be passed away. All the judgments of those that committed spiritual adultery, they're going to stand, there's going to be a judgment against them, and there was praise in heaven, because the only thing that's going to be left standing is truth. All right? So there was great praise and great honor being given to God. And then, now listen, all these angels are singing and praising, okay? And again they said, Alleluia. You know, it's all right to repeat praise. It's all right. I know we live in a time that, okay, there's a lot said about we don't want to be part of just all this praise, worship, and repeating stuff over and over. But you know what? Our problem is not repeating praise. Our problem's giving praise at all. Alright? So we need the Lord to help us. He said, say it again. And they said, hallelujah. Well, you already said it once. You whispered it. Be quiet. No, up in heaven, all praise and honor and glory. And he said, say it again. And so all of these voices in unison. You know there's something beautiful about unified praise? Unified praise means something when people come in the midst of a heavenly host and there's unified praise. You know, you come into a congregation and one or two people are giving God praise. It's like, huh, I wonder what, they're a little different. Do you know that the Lord wants it to be amongst His people that we are a people who give praise? But it's in my heart. If it's in your heart, offer some sacrifice. Because this is the incense that God wants in the New Testament dispensation. We're not lighting the candles tonight, but the Lord wants the incense of our prayers and our praise and our adoration to go to the Lamb. Alright? So there was praise being given. He said, say it again. The voice said, say it again. So they said, hallelujah. Now we see the 24 elders. Is that familiar? The 24 elders? Who was that? Yeah, it's a symbolic number, the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. It represented the church of God from the old dispensation and the new dispensation. So the 24 elders and the four beasts, which remember is better translated the living creatures. And we see these two tied together in other previous chapters as well. So the 24 elders representing the whole church of God from the beginning of time to the end now, to the end. And he also saw the four living creatures. Does anybody remember who those four living creatures are? Both. Let me remind you, the four living creatures, and this is just a brief summary, one was like a lion, one was like a calf, one was like the face of a man, and one had the wings as an eagle. Representing, again, now there's Old Testament symbolism, which those were the four ensigns that the 12 tribes of Israel camped under around the tabernacle. Tabernacle was right in the middle, and the tribes gathered in some camped on the east, some on the west, some on the north, and some on the south. And these were the ensigns of four of the tribes, but those were the ensigns that they camped under. Good symbolism of the Old Testament church also represents some attributes of God's church in the New Testament dispensation. Sacrifice, taking the gospel, spreading out, having the intelligence and the anointing and Spirit of the Lord on their life. So these are just all symbols again. Should we start? Yes, I kind of remember that now. All right, so here John sees them again up in heaven. And so he heard all of these angels giving God praise. And we know it was the angels because of what happens next. That's why we know it was the angels to start with. Now he's talking to the 24 elders. All right? And they fell down and they worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, folks, this is the second time. All right? He said, praise our God, all ye servants. So it's almost as if in the beginning, maybe it was just the angels. But now the four and twenty elders are on the scene, and another voice came saying, all of you servants praise the Lord. And if you remember in previous chapters, there is a song that the angels cannot sing. We sing the song, I'm redeemed. You know, the angels can't sing that. They can give God, Jesus, praise for His sacrifice, and they can honor Him, but they cannot sing the song of redemption. So now the angels, the thousands of 10,000s, are praising God, and another voice comes out of the throne saying, all you servants praise Him. And so now we see the Old and New Testament church joining in with the angels. Do you know what a day that's going to be? I want to say, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to that day of rejoicing when it's all over. It's finished. And so he said, a voice came out saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And then he said, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. Do you know, we live in a time, and we may address this later, but we're in a time where there's a remnant. But do you know, the remnant of every age is going to be in heaven. And when the remnant of this age is in heaven, you know, we can take our small group, and you realize that when you put us together with all the other small groups around the world, we're going to have a great multitude. But you put that multitude together with the generation before us and the generation before them, all the way back to Christ, do you realize how wonderful that's going to be? This is the marriage of the Lamb. And he said, everybody praise God and give him honor and worship. So he said, I heard the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of many of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Do you know, there have been periods through history that sometimes we can look at it and say, is God really reigning? You know, the church is in the wilderness, but at the same time, there were individuals that still had victory over sin. But here now, we're not just looking at the individuals. We're looking at a multitude of people, and they are saying together, the Lord God reigneth. There is no question who has the victory. Jesus Christ has the victory. I think that's a beautiful picture. In verse 7, he said, let us be glad and rejoice. You know, I don't know how much encouragement they needed, but he said, let us be glad. Let's be happy. And let's rejoice and give honor to him. And then he gave the reason. He said, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. You know, you've been anticipating it. You've been reading about it in the Bible. You've heard people preach about it. You've heard people saying for hundreds of years, Jesus is coming back. And now, he said, now is the time to just start praising God, because now the marriage has come. The time has arrived. And it said, his wife hath made herself ready. Oh, tonight I hope that you are ready. I hope you are ready, because Jesus is going to come back. And I want to be one that the Lord says, all fellow servants, give him praise. And I want to be there to give him praise. I don't want to be afraid at the coming back of the Lord. I don't want to be in one of the five foolish virgins who let the Spirit of God run out of their life because of the darkness around them. But I want my light to be burning bright. And I want to be looking forward and anticipating the knock on the door that says, behold, the bridegroom cometh and he's here. Oh, do you know, we don't have to be afraid tonight. We don't have to be afraid of the coming back of Jesus. I rejoice tonight. I'm ready. I want him to come. And we'll read here, we're almost to the end of this book. But at the end, when the Lord Jesus spoke to John and he said, surely I come quickly. You know what John's response was? Amen. Amen! He didn't say, Lord, would you tarry your coming a little bit? He, after seeing this beautiful picture, John said, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's what I say tonight. Lord, come. When it's time, the Lord knows the time, but when it's time, I want to be living in such a way that I can, without shame, not because of what I am or what I've done or the works that I've done, but because the blood of Jesus has been applied to my life, that I can say, Lord, I'm ready for you. I prepared myself. And this is how we're prepared. Listen to what he said. Now rejoice, because the Lamb has come and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is what? The righteousness of the saints. This is the righteousness. Do you know that there are weddings that maybe the bride doesn't wear a white dress? And you know, earthly weddings, that's their business, whether it's pink, blue, or whatever. You know, but that white is a symbol of something. White is a symbol of purity. And it said, the scripture says that God would beautify the meek with salvation. In other words, it's not my own righteousness. Oh, there's too many self-righteous people, folks. There's too many self-righteous people worshiping tonight under the name Church of God across the world. That name's not what gives us our righteousness. Our righteousness is when we humble our heart and recognize, I need a Savior. And the Lord has come in and made us clean and purified us by the blood of the Lamb. And so it said, He hath given. You know, I don't know, I didn't give my wife her wedding dress. Did any of you men give your wives their dress? I didn't. Do you know what this says? It said to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Do you know that's something that the Lord gives to us? It wasn't for us to get our own pattern and choose our own colors. And no, when we just say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm ready. Whatever you want me to do. Father comes in and He says, this is how I want you to dress. Yes, Lord. Are we willing to humble ourselves and let God tell us how to dress tonight? And I'm talking about more than the clothes on our back tonight. I'm talking about our attitudes and our spirit and what did the things in our life. Lord, I want You to have the glory. How do You want me to do it, Lord? And He prepared His bride. And there are so many scriptures, we won't take the time. But you know, the bride of Christ, it's like we are the bride, the church is the bride, and Christ, in that sense, is the husband. And the marriage has come. There's going to be a reuniting. Because we're married with Christ in this life. We made a vow. Lord, I give my heart to You. If someone comes to be saved and they don't make a lifetime commitment, I can about assure you it's not going to work for them very well. But when we come and say, Lord, through sickness and in health, through poverty and riches, through all the good times and bad times and whatever happens, Lord, I'm not going to leave You. Folks, that's what marriage is about. Marriage is about a commitment that regardless of what happens, regardless of what I don't understand, when I don't understand You, you know, who of you always understands God? Well, I don't understand Him. I'm going to leave Him. Well, shame on you then. If we don't understand God, get a little closer to Him so you can understand Him. And so that's what this marriage is about. But when He's talking about this marriage here in the 19th chapter, He's talking about the eternal marriage, that there will be no separation. We will be with the Lord, and I'm going to say in the flesh, because we're going to be in the presence of God. In the flesh. Because this body, children, we're going to get there again as we go on late another day. But this body, we're not going to be spirits floating around. We're going to have a body. It's a supernatural, wonderful, glorified body that God's going to give to us on that last day. And we're going to forever be with the Lord. Well, we'll get more into heaven later. But here it said, the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. Folks, we need to make ourselves ready for this marriage. Because it's coming. The Lord's coming back, and we ought to rejoice because of it. And He said unto me then, blessed are they which are called the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And He said, these are the true sayings. It is a wonderful picture. John was just, I believe, he was just overflowing. And he fell down, began to worship. And the angel said, wait, stop. Again, where's our worship belong? You know, these people from other groups and organizations that carry around a picture of their founder or someone that they rever, they carry that around in their billfold and in their Bibles. That's not what the Bible teaches us. No, there's not to be worshipped any man. We're not to bow down to any institution. There is no minister that we say, oh, this man. No! Any good is from God Himself, and Jesus is the only one that's worthy for us to fall down and worship. My commitment, I'm going to go a step further, folks. My commitment is not to you as God's people. My commitment is to the Lamb of God. And as you follow the Lamb, we're going to be in unity and we'll be in the family of God together. And I'll be here for you and you'll be here for me and I'll die for you. But do you realize that there are people I make a commitment I'm going to stay with you till the Lord comes back for us? I can't tell you that. You know why? Because I don't know what you're going to do. If you all walk away from God, I'm not going to stay with you. I want to stay with the Lamb. So that's where our allegiance is. That's where our vow is. That's where our worship is. And then as we stay following the Lamb, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. When you go through hard times, you don't have to wonder, well, is Brother Michael? No, I'll be there. But my worship is to the Lamb. The worship is the Lamb. He's the one worthy to be praised. And over, you remember, over in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, he talked about the relationship between a husband and wife. That a wife was to obey her husband in most things. You remember that scripture? Oh, in all things. Yes. He said in all things. It wasn't whether she felt like it or not. It wasn't if you're having a good day. He told the wife to honor her husband and to obey him in everything. Now, there is an obedience on the outside and there's an obedience on the inside, isn't there? The outside, I remember a wife telling us years ago, she said, I went ahead and did what he wanted me to do, but that little man was standing up on the inside. Thought, well, that's not submission. That's not obedience. That's not, but they were going through a form. Do you know, with our groom, we don't want to be like that. We want to say, Lord, I submit to you and I honor you, because the scripture says that he's going to come back for a bride that has garments on that are without spot and without wrinkle. There's no blemishes. You know, I might have you probably look and see some wrinkles in my clothes. Do you know that when the Lord comes back, he's coming back for someone that has prepared themselves? No wrinkles. And you know what? That doesn't mean that we're perfect humanly. Because we always have said, oh, I have need of nothing. Rich and increased with goods. And he said, oh, you're naked and wretched and despised. No. It's because I have the blood of Jesus. I have the Spirit of God. Lord, you know my heart. I know sometimes maybe I fall a little short and I have my humanity that I struggle with sometimes, but Lord, my heart is to do your will and to be what you want me to be, and we grow in the Lord. See? That's what it means, the pure of heart. That's what the Lord wants us to have, these kind of garments on tonight. And I know, we may not even get to this next part. We'll see. But when he came, you remember the marriage feast, the story of the marriage feast? And the man came, and the man came and said, friend. He said, friend, where's your wedding garment? He didn't come in saying, will you just get out? He said, friend. You know, the Lord looks on people today that have stains on their garment, and he's saying, friend, I had some bleach for that. I have some stain remover. You say, no, there's nothing that can get this out. Folks, the blood of Jesus can take out the deepest, most vile stains in our garments. We have cause to rejoice. Lord, thank you. When I couldn't do it, the blood of Jesus empowered me to do what I could not do. And so he came and he said, friend, why aren't you wearing your wedding garment? And the man was speechless. He didn't have anything to say because he knew. Folks, there is provision for all of us with every single need that we have tonight. It's only between you and God. Yeah, but Lord, if you would have had a pastor like I had. Well, you know what? I can't save you. And I can't keep you from it either. I can't take your salvation away. Isn't that the good part? Man can't give it, and man, I've heard stories, well, they said they were going to kick me out of the church. What church are you a part of? The only person that can kick you out of the church is you yourself when you walk away from God and go back to the very sin that the Lord cleansed you from. Folks, the man was speechless. All of our excuses, all of the people that have ever left it. Do you know this chapel would be full tonight to overflowing if everybody were here that used to attend services here? We wouldn't be the size of James River Assembly, but I'll tell you what, we would have had to build a new chapel. And I wonder, what are the excuses going to be when the Lord comes back in the marriage of the Lamb? There's going to be a lot of speechlessness in response to that question. Friend, well, where's your wedding garment? It was because There is no excuse, folks. There is nobody, there is nothing that can keep us from having the peace of God in our heart, because this is a personal thing. And it's why the scripture said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If I want you to start working out my salvation, I'm going to have problems. And if I want you to work out mine, I'm never going to get there, because I don't have salvation to give to my wife, to my children, or to any of you. All I can do is point you to the one that can take out the stains and give you grace to overcome in the problems that we face in life. So this was a remnant. Well, this wasn't. We're a remnant now. This was all of those remnants through all the generations that were praising God, that had prepared themselves for the coming of the Lord. I think I'm going to conclude there tonight. There's a beautiful picture. Marriage supper. The marriage of the Lamb has come. And what we see as we continue further is what's going to happen. At the same time of the marriage, when there are so many that are rejoicing, we begin to see a picture of slaughter, of those that could have been married to the Lamb, but chose to do it their own way. And there's going to be a great slaughter. So we will pick that up another time. But let's go home tonight remembering the marriage of the Lamb. Her bride, the bride, you know, most brides don't wake up in the morning. Most of them don't get them. Say, oh, I'm not going to look in the mirror today. I combed my hair yesterday and brushed my teeth yesterday and think I'll just go as I am. I mean, I'm a package deal. This is who I am. What would y'all think if someone walked into a wedding and their hair was in disarray and their garments weren't ironed and kind of untidy and maybe a little dirty and just kind of, here I am. What would you think about that? Yeah. But do you realize that the Lord has prepared for us some wedding garments tonight? That if maybe life sometimes have you ever gotten ready to go somewhere and got something on your clothes or got wrinkled up? Think, I need to go tidy up before I go. I got ready this morning. You know that it's that way with salvation sometimes. Lord forgives us. He gives us His righteousness, cleans us up, takes all our sin away. But sometimes through the events of life, we kind of look and say, you know what? It's getting a little dingy. And David prayed, Lord, would you restore to me the joy of salvation? Well, maybe he lost his soul. But do you realize that there, even the apostles talked about the times of refreshing from the Spirit of the Lord? That, Lord, I just need to come and kind of brush things off, and life has got me down a little bit. Lord, I need you just to iron some things and sharpen the creases. I don't know. I was amazed when I moved back to Oklahoma from Oregon that guys actually put starch on their jeans. I had never heard of such. And I found out there were people that put starch in their jeans, and a lot of it. And I was like, what is wrong with these guys? But do you know what? In life, there are some times we can start looking at our spiritual life and say, Lord, life has just kind of wrinkled me up a little bit. And it's no shame to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be a bride that is ready. I don't want the Lord to come in and look at me coming down the aisle, kind of feel a little shame, but I want Him to look down the aisle with anticipation. You know, as I'm anticipating the coming of the Lord, I want the Lord to anticipate coming for me. You know that? Do you? I want the Lord to look down and kind of look over at God the Father and say, Father, I'm looking at my people down there. I'm ready to go get them. They're living for us. They're serving me. And I know they've been through some hard things, but Lord, let's go deliver them. It's time for them to come on home. I could just see the Lord, kind of Jesus, looking with anticipation to the Father. Is it time yet? I want Him to look at me coming down the aisle and say, I'm so glad that I chose Him and He chose me. So let's live that way. This day is coming, and it's a beautiful thing that's going to happen.